The late Dr. A.W. Tozer, author and pastor, said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. We are certainly in need of the Spirit, even in the preaching and hearing of his word. And so before we read the word, let's go before the author in prayer. O Holy Spirit, as the sun is full of light and the ocean full of water, heaven full of glory, may our hearts be full of you. Give us yourself without measure, as an unimpaired fountain, as inexhaustible riches. Spirit, come and bear witness to the reading and preaching of your word. To that end, we pray for the preacher, knowing that he is not worthy, but by your grace he is able. And so it is through Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read that whole chapter together and then break it down along the way as we go. But let's hear the total thought as it comes from God through Paul, the inspired, inerrant, perfect word of God. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ. And Christ is of God. From the words of 1 Corinthians 3, I would have you see snacks, celebrities, and Home Depot. First, I would have you see snacks. Anybody that knows me knows I like food. I like good food. I like bad food. I like healthy food. I like junk food. I like food. I'm happy to say I got my fair share and then some of the Halloween candy. All the stuff that my kids don't like, that goes to me. I'm a happy man. I sometimes think about taking up the life of a hobbit. They have first breakfast and second breakfast, and then snacks throughout the day. That's a good life right there. And yet floating through life on snacks is not going to help us grow. Comfort food will make us feel good, but not help us to grow more healthy. Paul wrote to the divisive Christians, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it." Now, in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul distinguished between believers and unbelievers. Believers can spiritually discern spiritual things because they have the Spirit of God. Unbelievers only have the spirit of the world, and they cannot understand and accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Now, here in chapter 3, Paul is distinguishing two sorts of believers: those who are walking with Christ and those who are walking still with the world. The latter are worldly Christians or carnal Christians. The word that the NIV translates worldly, the ESV translates as flesh, and the King James translates as carnal. The word that's there actually is where we get our word sarcophagus, that above ground coffin that you lay a body in. Instead of burying it below the ground, you bury it above ground in the sarcophagus. It has to do with the body. And there are people today who question whether body Christians like that, carnal Christians, worldly Christians, is even a proper category of people. In fact, the tendency for many is to question the salvation of those who claim to be Christians but then walk according to the flesh. But here in chapter 3, Paul is talking about carnal Christians, and he's not questioning their salvation. Paul in this letter has already affirmed that he knows these people have been converted. He knows that these people have received the Spirit of God. He's seen the evidence of that. He knows these people. Remember, Paul knows these people, and they know him. Paul shared the gospel with them. He saw the Spirit of God enter their lives. He saw them changed because of it. He's affirmed this in chapters 1 and 2. So this isn't a question of their salvation. It's a question about their diet. When Paul first shared the gospel with them, he gave them milk, the easily distributed, easily digestible Bible basics, the fundamentals of the faith. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. His perfect life, death, and resurrection is the only basis for salvation, as promised in the Old Testament. You cannot be saved by your good works. You can only be saved in Christ alone. This gospel applies to all of life, but first you must apply it to your heart and in the easier things before you move on to the more difficult aspects of life. Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and his lordship extends to everything. Like the Corinthians, we still today struggle to apply the lordship of Christ in everything. There were aspects of their life in which they were still living according to the world, like unbelievers. Now, unbelievers have the excuse of not having the Spirit, and so they live according to the world. But here, the believers were acting in the same way, living as though they didn't have the Spirit. Hear the story about the logging foreman who sold a farmer a chainsaw, guaranteed to cut down 50 trees in a day. Well, a week later, the farmer came back very unhappy and reported that the saw must be faulty because he could only cut down 3 trees a day. Well, the foreman took the saw, pulled the cord, and it went, "Rrr." The farmer said, "What's that noise?" You have the Spirit. You have the mind of Christ. Use it. But the Corinthians weren't using it. They needed to change their diet so that they might grow out of their worldliness and realize the power that was available to them in the Spirit. They had not yet been ready for solid food. And Paul goes on to say, "Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly?" Jealousy and quarreling is the kind of thing we see in our children from time to time, right? At home, whoever has the toy, I want that toy, and I will fight you to get it. And you're acting like children. Jealousy and quarreling. You're acting like children. How can I give you solid food when you're still acting like infants? You think you've grown up, but here you are still acting incredibly immature. Jealousy and quarreling and divisions will exist among those who are snacking on the world instead of feeding on the Word and Spirit. And so, having seen snacks, I would also have you see celebrities. The Corinthians' worldliness was being played out in loyalty to human leaders rather than loyalty to Christ. They were treating Paul like he was a celebrity. This was a mark of the Corinthian culture, not unlike our culture today. The people of Corinth would gather together in the marketplace and listen to philosophers and listen to eloquent speakers who would share their ideas, the latest ideas of the day. And the people would pick their favorite and follow them. It is the same thing today, except the marketplace is now in cyberspace, and the speakers are those in pop culture. And so we have our favorite singers and our favorite actors and favorite television personalities, and we place our loyalties in that person so that there is no difference between the Corinthians who said, I follow Paul or I follow Apollos, and people today who say, I follow Sean Hannity, or those who say, I follow Keith Olbermann. And as undiscerning consumers of culture, there has become very little difference between those who say, I follow the Republicans and I follow the Democrats. In fact, last week, some of you thought I was simply making fun of Democrats. I was not. If anything, I was making fun of those who make fun of Democrats, as those who are undiscerning consumers of pop culture, including indiscriminately passing along internet memes. Don't buy into the rhetoric. We tend to buy it because it is sold very well. We relate to it and therefore pass it on. This past week, someone posted a big meme of a picture of an eyeball, and it said, fact, people with brown or green eyes are hyper and love to laugh. They tend to be quiet at first, but once you get to know them, they never shut up and make amazing friends. This is not a fact. But this person relates to it because they have brown eyes and they view themselves in this way. But there are plenty of blue-eyed people who would say the same thing about themselves. And plenty of brown-eyed people would say, yeah, that doesn't really describe me. And to some extent, it's generic enough that it applies to almost everyone, kind of like a horoscope. You cannot and thus must not pigeonhole all groups of people. You can't pigeonhole Democrats and pigeonhole Republicans. Don't believe me? How about the world that pigeonholes all Christians? In fact, there's an internet meme called Religion Pigeon. And the very fact that we are called pigeons tells you something about what the world thinks, calling religious people pigeons. Religion Pigeon has a photo of a pigeon and then mocks Christians. Love your neighbor as yourself? Yeah, but only if you're not gay, pagan, or atheist. Vote for a politician because he opposes abortion? Don't care what he thinks about anything else. Religion Pigeon? Guy builds a boat, fills with every animal in the world? Yeah, but evolution is plain ridiculous. Religion Pigeon, son of God, born in the Middle East? Yeah, it must be white. Religion Pigeon, gravity? That's a myth. Guy resurrected from the dead? Sounds legit. And these things are funny to unbelievers because they identify with it. But we here, we want a chance to explain our side and say, no, you don't fully understand what it is that we as Christians really believe. Divisiveness comes from misrepresenting one side and overrepresenting your side. Divisiveness comes from buying into superficial rhetoric, especially by celebrities who are trying to sell you something. Stephanie Germanotta, more popularly known as Lady Gaga, sings, I live for the applause. She recently said this about that song. Applause is a very meaningful song to me, because it addresses what many think of celebrities today, that we do it for the attention. But some of us are artists in this group called celebrity, and what we create doesn't live on unless there's an audience to remember it. So I may need your attention at first so I can sing you my song, but it's the applause after that lets me know if I've entertained you. Entertainment makes people happy. I live for the applause, to know I've spread that. I live to hear you cheer, to just be a part of that. I believe in show business, the applause is what breeds that thing that I love. When I know I've made you happy, when I know it was good. In the next 2 weeks, we will see from chapter 4 that Paul had no interest in being a celebrity. He did not live for the applause. But the Corinthian culture thought that applauding your leader over and against another was a good thing. They're still living on the surface, in the superficial. They kept thinking it was about the human leaders and forgot that it was really about the Lord. Paul gives a farming illustration in verses 6 through 8. He says, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Farmers know that they have very little to do with actually making things grow. They are utterly dependent on something outside of themselves for anything to grow. Many of the false religions, and you read in the Old Testament about the Baal worship, false religions are built on trying to appease the gods so that they will make things grow for you. Someone once said, man, despite his artistic pretensions, his sophistication, and many accomplishments, owes the fact of his existence to a 6-inch layer of topsoil and the fact that it rains. It's kind of humbling. We can't make things grow. Only the Lord does that. The world will try and cover that up by thrilling you and entertaining you and making it all about entertainment so they can sell you something. The fact is that not everything is about entertainment, but it seems that way in our entertainment-obsessed culture. This is why when you ask your kids, how was school today, their answer is, it was boring. When you ask your kids, what did you think of worship in the sermon today? It was boring. Boring is an appropriate response if entertainment was the goal and it fell short. But school is not entertainment. Worship is not entertainment. We need to help each other develop non-entertainment vocabulary for non-entertainment aspects of life. Work and school aren't exciting or boring, but something much more profound. It's about excelling, not exciting. Worship is not exciting or boring, but something much more profound. It's about exalting, not exciting. And so, having seen snacks and celebrities, I would have you see Home Depot. Put me in a hardware store or a home improvement store like Lowe's or Home Depot, and I'm completely lost. Put me in a bookstore or a music store, an electronics store, and I'm like a kid in a candy shop. Actually, just put me in a candy shop. That would be better. But in a hardware store or home improvement store, I'm not even sure what to look for. But many of you do. We all have different gifts. I'm glad for the diversity of gifts in the body of Christ. Now in verses 10 to 15, Paul talks about building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ using quality products. He says each one should be careful how he builds. First of all, don't let anyone lay any other foundation than Christ. Related to the farming analogy is this architectural analogy that says that there is building that we are to do, but we're utterly dependent on the Lord if anything is really to happen. The farmer needs the Lord if anything is to grow. The builder needs the Lord if the building is going to stand strong. Now, last week I called for repentance anytime you start to use the words, if we just, especially in the church when people will say things like, if we just do this program, you know, if we just pray more, if we just have more Bible studies, if we just have more fellowship, if people would just, all of those are efforts to lay a foundation other than Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Yes. Then I'm not. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Yes. Then the session is not. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Yes. Then worship is not. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Yes. Then any program is not. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Yes. Then my personal preference is not. So then let's think about the quality of our work built on this perfect foundation. In verse 12, Paul writes, if any man build on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, it is our natural tendency to use wood, hay, or straw, and we're talking obviously as much spiritually as anything, rather than gold, silver, and costly stones. We use that which is easiest to obtain, which is cheapest and fastest. We want to get this thing built, and we want to get it built like yesterday. So let's go, right? And in doing so, in the time of testing, the lack of quality will be revealed. We must build with true quality, gold and silver and costly stones, even though it will take much longer and be much more difficult. By the way, this is not only true with the work that we do as the church, for the church, this is true of how we do anything as kingdom builders in this world. Students, you can either get your homework done as fast as possible and yet learn nothing, or do the quick cram for the test and learn nothing, or you could do quality work. It will take longer and be more difficult. But you can look to do what is excellent instead of looking to do what is exciting. Employees, you can do your job and simply collect a paycheck, or you can look to make the most contribution to your company, to excel as an employee. Citizens, you can bemoan the political system, or you can get involved. Vote on Tuesday. Take some time between now and then to be ready to vote well, and then be involved in what's happening in the community and in the world. Fathers, love your wife and your kids well. Mothers, love your husband and your kids well. And it's always harder to do that. But the quality of the work is important. We can do all this. We can do things with quality because we have the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. By the way, have you ever noticed how many great verses there are that are 3:16 passage? Chapter 3, verse 16. Go through the Bible sometime. Great passages that are 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Now, there's something important to see in that, and that is that this verse is not speaking of us as individuals, but as the church together. In this verse, the you is plural. You yourselves, plural, are God's temple, singular. We together make one church. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to see that Paul uses the same terminology to speak of each individual Christian having the Holy Spirit and encouraging us to live a moral life. Paul writes, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, but bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And so there is a sense in which we need to be conscious that each one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to be holy because the Spirit lives in us. But we also need to be very conscious that together, the Spirit lives in us, so that we become one church, God's church. Paul writes in the closing verses, beginning at verse 18, not to deceive ourselves by thinking that we are wise in our own eyes or measuring our wisdom by the standards of this age. Reminds me of the story of the woodpecker that tapped his beak against the trunk of a tree just as lightning struck the tree and destroyed it. The woodpecker flew away and said, "Wow, I didn't know there was so much power in my beak." When we realize what power there is in the Lord who is building his church and building his kingdom in this world, we will stop being intimidated by this world. We'll stop buying into the rhetoric of this world. Paul writes at the end of verse 21, all things are yours. The world does not own you. You own the world. We serve Christ by God's appointment, so that we can transform this world rather than being transformed by it. On July 15th, 1986, pitcher Roger Clemens was a young pitcher, sizzling right-hander for the Boston Red Sox at the time, and he was starting his first All-Star game. Well, in the second inning, he came to bat, something he hadn't done for years because of the designated hitter rule in the American League, and he took sort of a few uncertain practice swings and then looked out at his forbidding opponent, who was Dwight Gooden, who had previously won the Cy Young Award. Well, Gooden wound up and threw a white-hot fastball right past Clemens. Didn't even see it coming. Kind of took a step out of the batter's box and looked over at the catcher, Gary Carter, and said, "Is that what my fastballs look like?" And Gary Carter nodded. Clemens got back in and just immediately struck out. But he went on to pitch three perfect innings that game and was named the most valuable player. And he said, from that point on, with a fresh reminder of how overpowering a good fastball is, he pitched with far greater boldness. Sometimes we forget the Holy Spirit is within us, individually and corporately, and how powerful our witness can be. And so, with the Spirit in us, let us speak and act with excellence in every area of our life. And may the truth set us free to do that. Amen.